Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hi there, this is Sharon Hoskins. Thanks so much for being with us today as we discuss the importance of prayer. Hebrews 4 says, because of what Jesus did on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Yet we still struggle to be active in prayer and many times fail to go beyond recited words. So join in the conversation as we uncover the simplicity of prayer. I've heard a lot of Christians say that they don't know how to pray. So Janie, is it that we don't know how to pray or that we don't know what the definition of prayer is?
Well, or we have been given the academic teaching on prayer. There are beautiful prayers in the scripture, and we are taught those prayers. As I was taught those prayers, I knew what words to repeat. But Sharon, I didn't understand when I was praying to know the height and the depth and the width and the breadth of love. And that's a prayer.
Well, so do you think that we're just reciting prayers and so therefore we're not really having a conversation? We're just basically saying words.
Well, and I don't believe we necessarily intend to do that. It's as you said, we don't know how to do otherwise. But Sharon, that's really empty words. I can say something simple like X plus Y equals Z. I don't still understand the concept and the complexity of what that simplicity in words is saying.
Okay.
So unless we have meaning to our words, then they can be vain repetition, or it can just be hollow mental repetition, none of which is going to get the answers that we're seeking.
Well, you know, Janie, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, we have a scripture that has many different aspects of prayer. And it says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. When I look at that verse, I see that those are things that we all cram together in the definition of prayer.
If you want to give prayer a definition so that a little preschooler could apprehend it, let's just say prayer is talking to the Father.
Okay.
Or we could say, for right now, prayer is talking to Jesus. Because many times we know Jesus as our person more so than we understand Father God as the Spirit.
So when we say we're going to pray for somebody, we're just saying prayers. We're just talking to God about this situation. And we're not defining what those supplications are. What's intercession? How do I pray differently, I guess is my question.
That's a good question, Sharon. So let's don't overcomplicate it.
Okay.
Because you could probably take a sixth grader right now, and they have friends at school that they know are hurting or having problems. So in their simplicity, they will just say, Jesus, I want you to help Joey in his pain. Okay. Then that child could go right on and say, oh, and Jesus, I looked at the news tonight and people are being killed in different parts of the world. Jesus, I don't know what to do, but help them. And then the child might go on and have something else personal. Jesus, my tummy hurts. I feel sick. Would you make me well? All right, that child has done all three of those things in that first verse, and the child doesn't have a clue.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
So it's not necessary for us to actually know the difference between all of these as long as we're praying from our heart of love.
Yes. Now, For Timothy, remember, he was more than a sixth grader at school. He was a pastor guiding the sixth graders in their family development in the church of Ephesus. But when you say in chapter 2, verse 1, therefore, we have to stop.
Okay.
Because therefore says, go back and what was...
What's that there for?
Yes, that's part of a country way of saying it, but yes. And so we would have to go back and really look at what the first chapter was saying. And that will set the stage in the context. But we will know that right now it's telling us that we need to have a good conscience. And it's telling us that we really need to know about Jesus Christ and why he came to save sinners. These are just little tidbits in chapter 1. It also tells us that there's going to be long-suffering necessary as a pattern of our life. And so after those little tidbits have been disclosed, then Paul comes in and tells Timothy to go ahead and build up the people, to get them grounded, to get them in a soundness and a wholeness. And I want to bring up something here just as a side note. The church at Ephesus was having a real problem with doing everything right, but not having their heart right.
Okay.
They no longer had their first love as Jesus Christ as an objective. But they were into a lot of sound doctrine. But as great as sound doctrine is, if it doesn't have the heart, it's nothing more than intellectualness.
Okay.
And prayer cannot be intellectual and be true prayer.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
If I pray from my head and my heart's out here being resentful, unforgiving, that prayer isn't going as high as your 6-foot or your 8-foot ceiling.
Okay.
Prayer must have the heart engaged wholeheartedly.
Okay. That makes sense.
So Paul really has a heart urgency to say, Timothy, now I exhort you. Exhort will really mean I encourage you. I want to admonish you. I want to build you up to stand and be steadfast. And I want you to do that through the means of prayer.
Okay.
And oh, by the way, Timothy, there's different ways that you can pray. You can pray with supplications and prayers and intercessions. And don't ever forget to give thanks for all men. But one of the things that he is wanting to explain to them, that prayer does require two-way conversation.
Well, that's a good point, that we sometimes just talk and talk and talk and talk, and then we're out the door.
So, Sharon, how do we solve that dilemma if we really want to pray and there's just silence? There's no voice coming back. There's no particular sound that we can attribute our response to.
And sometimes I've heard people say, well, I don't know if that's God talking to me or if that's my own thoughts.
It is probably your own response, unless you are grounded in the way Jesus Christ communicates to us today, and that's through the scripture.
Okay.
Now, without getting off on a rabbit trail, we do need to acknowledge that Jesus speaks loudly today. God the Father can have megaphones, and the Holy Spirit is guiding us. But there's two ways right now that they're doing it primarily. One is through the scriptures.
Okay.
The
God's
word.
Yes.
And the other one right now is through the Holy Spirit, and he uses our conscience.
Okay.
All right. Now, if we are not reading the scriptures, we will not be sensitive to how the Holy Spirit wants to lead us.
Okay.
Many times I hear people say, well, you just need to walk in the Spirit. Well, that can be as much of a mystery in our prayer life as trying to understand one of Einstein's equations.
Right.
All right, so how do I walk in the Spirit so that I know when I'm praying that I am praying with the mind of God and the heart of God? One evidence is that the fruit of the Spirit will be in my heart.
And that's Galatians 5, We find the fruit of the Spirit.
Spirit, yes.
Okay.
And yet, sometimes we can manufacture fake fruit.
It's all plastic.
Yes.
You go to pick it up and eat it. It's like, whoa.
This is not edible.
Right. Okay.
So sometimes people think, well, if I can just show that I'm happy and I'm going to be kind and I've got all these visible evidences, mm-hmm. I'm going to look good and I'm going to look like I'm walking in the Spirit.
Right. Okay.
But when I'm alone and I'm quiet, I am complaining. I'm murmuring about the very people that publicly I'm trying to be kind to.
Okay. Yes.
Now, I want to quickly quiet some people's consciences here and tell you that agape love, God's love, will always love, but you don't necessarily have to relish the temperament of another person.
Okay, so basically what I hear you saying is I don't have to be enthusiastically in love with somebody to love them with God's love.
That's right.
Okay.
And one way that you can really probably test the level of your heart is when someone does something offensive to you, either in action or speech, attitudes, and you can turn around and look at them. And that offense just washes over you like water running down a stream. And you realize, that should have upset me, but it doesn't. And why doesn't it? Because the love of God in my heart sees past that offense mm-hmm. to where the need is.
Right.
And Sharon, isn't that just parenting? I mean, isn't that as you raise children, you are constantly looking over their offense, not that you're not still trying to deal because you're training, but your love supersedes the aggravation. And when you do get aggravated, then your conscience usually tells you that right. you need to deal with it a little differently.
And you know, under pressure, our true selves really do come out. And when we're in adversity and we're in struggle, then those are the times that we can really see the deepest, darkest parts of our heart being exposed.
Yes.
Something that happened to me a couple of weeks ago is that someone did something that flooded my mind and my heart with a hurt from my childhood. And so instead of reacting to that hurt, I had to readjust my thinking and allow the Lord to expose that and respond the way He wanted me to respond to that situation.
Now, there's a good point that you're bringing out here. There is prayers that we see here in 2 Timothy 2:1, mm-hmm. and then there is praying.
Okay.
Now, praying will encompass supplications, specific prayers, and intercession. But I think sometimes we get overwhelmed with not knowing how to pray when we can always be praying and getting the needs met. So let me bring out just a couple of points about praying
okay.
that can do for us.
Okay.
All right. When we pray, and I'm, again, not categorizing specific prayers, but when we pray and talk to the Father.
Okay.
I want to set up a basic. The Scriptures teach us that we really do address Father God. Our Father, which art in heaven,
right.
hallowed be thy name.
Okay.
All right?
Uh-huh.
And then thy kingdom come. But we are talking to Father God. But Father God has told us, if we're studying the Scriptures,
mm-hmm.
that He has put all authority, all wisdom, all knowledge for all things, and all things consisting in the Son. So when I pray to God the Father, I am praying to Him about what He wants for His Son to have accomplished. To us, in us, for us, and through us. All right? And so many times, as soon as we go to, even if we say our Father, it's our Father, I hurt, I want, da-da, and we leave the object of God's mind, which is the Son, Jesus Christ, we put ourselves in His place. It's all about me.
Right.
And then that really nullifies what the Spirit wants to do.
Okay.
So if we can keep our prayers knowing that we're going to pray to God the Father. But of course, it's three in one. So Jesus Christ is hearing, and He is God in the flesh, and He has the chief role of interceding for everything that we say, because sometimes we don't know what to say. So as the three in one, that Jesus makes sure He and the Father are agreeing with what's in our hearts, even if our words aren't correct.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, I got it.
But then we don't want to leave the Holy Spirit out, because the Holy Spirit is a real person, and I still will never understand until I am in heaven how a real person can be in this body of mine. But I accept that by faith, and when I pray, I have to pray in faith. And we know in Hebrews it tells us that the just must live by faith. So Sharon, as we learn about the simplicity of prayer, we cannot leave the word faith out. Okay. Because if we are hearing because we're looking at the scriptures and we're understanding, or because we're hearing that little small voice that is the Holy Spirit guiding us through our conscience,
right,
it must take faith to activate. I would say faith would be like the ignition. You can have all the parts of the car that you need, but until you turn that key, nothing happens.
Right.
And faith is the start for everything else to happen.
Okay.
But it's very important that we recognize, yes, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are speaking. In fact, they desire a communion and communication with us more than we desire it with them.
That's hard to wrap my head around, that God would want to talk to me.
And then He would say, Miss Sharon, I formed you. I selected you. Why would I want to create you and then go off and just leave you?
Right.
I mean, this is a very oversimplified explanation, but why would you bake the best cake that you have ever made in your life and then go put it on the cabinet and just leave it there?
Right.
It's to enjoy.
Or throw it in the trash.
Well,
right?
Well, and then I have to contend with you. God doesn't throw anything in the trash.
Yeah.
Now, some of us throw Him in the trash in the choices that we close our heart to.
Or we'll jump in the trash ourselves and say, God doesn't want to talk to me.
And that is usually where many people who have bad circumstances can come to think, woe is me. Now, let's go back to what I said a little bit earlier about the difference between prayers and praying. So let's just say someone is really perplexed about whether it's their own life or whether it is someone else's life or our national life. When we pray, it takes our hearts and it turns our hearts to look more for a solution outside of ourselves. And when we choose to pray, then our eyes really turn to God. So, prayer can cause us to get our eyes off of the unknown.
Right.
And then
right.
The Lord will bring someone along to encourage that prayer. Now, the next thing is prayer redirects our thoughts and our emotions away from the superfluous circumstances that can preoccupy us. It causes us to realize, wow, I was worried if I was going to have enough money to take a cruise next year, and now I'm just hoping I'll be alive next year. So prayer causes us to redirect our priorities, and we, whether we are believers or unbelievers, we want the comforts that life can give us. We want the wealth. We want the health. And prayer helps us redirect our priorities.
Right.
Then there is a thought, Sharon, especially for people seeking and for people knowing, The Bible tells us in Hebrews that when you see really difficult times that the scriptures call about in the last days, mm-hmm. and that's a time frame that is another lesson, but these are the last days we're living in, and that could be weeks, months, or even years.
Right.
But they're still the last days in God's overall plan for all of eternity. It tells us that we need to come together in worship. And a lot of people put the wrong emphasis about going to a building. Well, if you go to a building called church and you still have a bad heart and you don't want to change that heart, going to the building isn't going to fix you.
Right, right.
But
I get that.
If you go to a building where there are other Christians, maybe struggling, maybe having problems, you find strength with the other Christians because the Spirit of the living God is living in all of us.
Yeah.
And some may be struggling while others are being blessed. And it's not that God's favoring one or another. It's just each of our lives are going towards the same goal, but perhaps at different places on that path.
Well, and I find that coming together is also a time where we can be encouraged, listen to each other. You know, we may not even agree, Janie, but we can at least, you know, ask questions and be encouraged by the words of the others there, because it gets painful to be home by yourself and try to figure it all out alone you don't have somebody there with you.
And that's true, and that's a good comment, because you know what? That's a seeking heart. If I was going to church for recognition, to quiet a conscience, even though I didn't plan on changing anything, then staying home with your own coffee cup in your own easy chair is a very good way to quiet your conscience and still look at something on the internet and quiet your conscience. But what happens is we're one body,
mm-hmm.
and we're not going to grow or get our solutions answered by staying in isolation. In fact, there is a proverb that says when we choose to isolate ourselves, it's for selfish reasons.
Well, one other thing I want to bring out is the fact that there are a lot of older people who maybe are disabled or can't get around to get to church anymore for one reason or another, and they're not getting the prayers. I mean, they're getting probably people praying for them in intercession, but as far as the encouragement of holding someone's hands and encouraging them in prayer, that's so few and far between, because if they're not getting visitors or, you know, they're in isolation, then they're not getting that touch, that eye contact, that encouraging word in prayer to know what people are praying for them.
Sharon, that's a very good observation. And right now, because of the duration of the intensity of the pandemic that we have, many people need to have a song in their heart.
Mm-hmm.
And coming to church, where you can be a part of the singing, changes body chemistry. It actually will help improve memory problems.
Wow.
I know of people who are really having memory problems, maybe in the early stages of dementia or Alzheimer's. Their heart and their mind are touched when they have a song in their heart. And the Lord commands us to sing to one another with spiritual songs and praises. And that can be done as we come together. Being separate, you can hear it, but having that touch that you said, mm-hmm. plus the songs, is really a healing tool, and Sharon, probably a preventive tool in your body staying strong against the outside forces, whatever they may be.
All right. Well, Janie, that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzlaff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHartz.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hartz, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.